I'm speaking to Brendan Swan on the phone about Pat Tierney, Ballymun-based poet. Back 30 years ago, Brendan was a young 10-year-old resident of Kent Towers in Ballymun. And he's going to talk about being friends with Pat Tierney and how Pat organised a children's writers group, a poetry group, called the Kent Towers Rhymers Club. But first we'll take a quick promo break. 90.3. This is Nears FM. Hello, you're very welcome back to the arts programme. John Connell here, Near FM. This time last year, I spoke on the phone to Brendan Swan, who 30 years ago was part of the Kent Towers Rhymers Club, a children's poetry group that had been organised by Ballymun-based Pat Tierney. It was to commemorate a published book that was launched in the Mansion House with the Lord Mayor some 30 years ago last year. I started the phone call by asking Brendan about Pat Tierney. So you're Brendan Swan, and when you were about 10, you were living in Kent Tower in Ballymun,
right, yeah.
and you met Pat Tierney, the poet.
I did indeed.
You were involved with Pat in the Rhymers Club.
Yeah. He set that up. Jesus, over 30 years ago. We were all quite close to Pat, myself and my family. He was very close to my parents. They were in the tenant association there, and he couldn't have kids. We didn't know anything about that back then, and so he wanted to do something for all the kids. He kind of just took us on. We were all his kids at that stage, you know. He was just basically Uncle Pat to us. So we seen him practically every day. Yeah.
How did you find him? How did you interact with Pat, and how did the other youngsters, what was their take on Pat?
Pat was a very he was a very outgoing man. He was loud, and he was buzzing with life. He was just the happiest, friendliest guy that anyone. I've never seen him raise his voice or give out to anybody. He was always looking to try anything. He had a personality where he would just, to us as a kid looking up, he'd do anything. Pat could do anything. As I said, he set up the Rhymers Club with us. We used to go on day visits out to the park, to Dublin Zoo. He took us there as well. He used to love going walking and just going out everywhere. So he used to take myself and my brother James out gallivanting, as he'd say, and we'd get a bus into town or walk, depending on his mood and the weather. And to be quite honest, we'd just walk all around town, and he'd be explaining everything from certain churches, certain streets, and trying to give us some form of history regarding all those things. And then we'd always seem to end up on just outside Brown Thomas, and he'd have a little hat. He always wore a hat. He'd just throw it on the ground and then start busking. He'd be lashing out a few poems, and then myself and my brother would start doing it as well, which was an eye-opening experience to a nine-year-old. But to be quite honest, it was just a great time. You know, we'd then start we'd be busking, and then you'd have a singing certain songs. We went to the Irish school as well, so we would you'd have a singing certain songs through Irish as well. So it was just, Pat was an experience. I think that's the best way to put him.
I remember Pat myself. I'm the same age as Pat, you know. So
yeah.
I remember him. I used to live in Paddock Pierce Tower, and around the late 80s, early 90s. I never saw him raise his voice to anyone.
Never. No, he always had a smile on his face, and always he could never sit still unless he was getting a cup of tea from my mom and a few bakies. That was the only time, or a pint with dad. That was the only time we would ever see him sit still. He was always active, always moving, And as I said, he like for charity, I think he walked to Galway and back, and then we all met up at the Lord Mayor's there, and then he just had this amazing energy around him, not just energy levels, but an energy around him. He just attracted people to him.
So do you remember the book launch in the Lord Mayor Mansion House in Dublin?
I do indeed, the book launch, yeah. that was an experience. And then it was it's very weird as a young child from Ballymun who would you'd always have this stigma attached to you being from Ballymun, looked down and whatever. And then we're at the Mansion House meeting the Lord Mayor and having books printed with our names in it, but with poems that we made ourselves. You know, he taught us the ropes on how to put the words together, try and have a meaning about the poem, have something that you're interested in and put it forward into the poem. Meeting the Lord Mayor at the time and getting that little yellow book was certainly an experience for all of us.
Can I read those two poems from yourself? And I think you co-wrote a poem called Cowboys with David Kelly.
Right. David Kelly, yeah, that's right, yeah. He'd always try and split us into a group of two ideas and throw them together.
So yeah. I don't know if you remember Cowboys, but I'll just read it out.
Mm-hmm.
Cowboys have guns and they shoot. When they shoot, they rob the loot. Indians shoot cowboys and they die. When they die, they close their eyes.
There we go.
There you go. And then
that was the first one we made, yeah.
And I'll read out the second one. It's on the next page. Mm-hmm. Brendan McAnally and Mary Clifford.
Saying, yeah.
So you wrote a poem with Mary Clifford called I Like to Hear. I like to hear the cowboys shoot when rounding up the calves. I like to see their marvellous loop cutting the sky in halves. They whistle by the campfire's glow and watch the falling stars. The night creeps over the river's flow beneath the peering Mars.
Not too bad for the first one, but yeah.
Yeah, there's some.
Yeah.
I was speaking to Sorica Nigib. She has a few poems in here.
Right. Yeah, she was in the Irish school with me. I know Sorica very well. She's a great girl. Yeah.
And then there's a woman called Ciara Ní Murlagán.
That's right. Yeah. Most of us in the Rhymers Club were from Scull and Seachtar Lech as well. He didn't. What was great about Pat is he didn't just say anyone from Éamon Kent Tower. He took a lot of us in from the school as well. I think initially it was supposed to be the tower, but you know, I think the tenants, a few of them in the tenants association, they were trying to say, you know, we'd just stick with this block, let other blocks do their own thing. But Pat being Pat would never neglect a child. So any other kid that wanted to be in the club or had an interest in the club had to try. I think he even made us do something like, you have to try and come up with a poem, something small, and then he'll get you into the club. You know, just to have you say something in front of a group of people. He loved to challenge people that way, you know.
So he taught children how to write poetry?
Absolutely, yeah. Not even that, just a good outlook on life, just to be never be embarrassed about anything or ashamed of anything. He was just a fantastic man. He really was.
Yeah, I can imagine that he must have given great confidence to the youngsters.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, if you're willing to go busking and say poems in front of a group of strangers in the street, you know, it's a big eye opener for you. And then like the Smithfield horse fairs or the horse market, I think it was every one Sunday, the first Sunday of every month, and he'd take us there, just meeting anybody and everyone from all walks of life. And then like that as well, the odd time I say of homes in the middle of a horse fair, you know, and he'd just start blabbing and yapping out in his. He was a huge fan of W.B. Yeats as well, so throwing loads of them out. And it was, as I said, an experience. Yeah,
he used to recite Pierce, Yeats, Kavanagh, and many of the Irish poets from the canon, yeah. And then his own stuff. I was looking for some of his material. I went on YouTube, and I think around the St. Patrick's Day Festival, somebody posted up a poem by Pat Tierney, and I think it was Pat. I think it was Pat's poem.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to get his stuff now on YouTube.
It's very difficult, yeah. Especially with the anniversary of his passing there at the start of the year, I was actually just trying to find some there was a few write-ups, I believe, in some papers and online about him, just as an anniversary, and just even to find something new about him or find any more information, there was very limited amount of stuff about him. It's just kind of about small things that he did, or the book, or then his funeral, you know, just that kind of stuff, or his play, or the book, The Moon on My Back, you know.
He was a fine writer.
He was indeed. Like, there you go. Like, not just poetry, but he wrote a book and a play, and quite successful as well for someone with no major education, you know.
Yeah, he was in love with the language.
He was indeed. He was indeed, yeah.
Did he go out to RTE to make Christmas cards, I see here?
That's right, he did indeed. He took us there and just took a load of us from the Rhymers Club up, and we had to draw pictures for Christmas cards, and we got them. They were what would I say, published as well. They, you know, there was a certain amount of them. I think it was for AIDS Alliance, and
yes,
he was doing a lot of work for them and charity work for them. And I can specifically remember doing my pictures of them with
good.
A smiley face on it, and then we're all getting pizzas or McDonald's afterwards. And what was good about that as well, when obviously having Pat in our life at the initial stage of it, you know, obviously our parents, this is the late 80s, early 90s, and AIDS was a taboo subject. But, you know, what was fantastic about, I suppose, all the parents in that, in Eamon Kent was, I imagine the initial shock of finding out, like, Pat came out and told everybody, look, this is what I have, this is what it is, and he was completely open about that, and he was embraced, I believe. I'd say there was an initial shock for us, but embraced by all the parents there. So again, like, I think I was 7 at the time when my parents found out. Then you're getting kind of at the chat about the birds and the bees and what is AIDS and how do you get AIDS, and it was a very kind of a rudimentary version of it, because you're trying to explain to a 7-year-old how can this happen, and not to be afraid of Pat or anything, because of the stigma that AIDS had back then. It was kind of made like, even if you touched her hand, you could get it or whatever like that, you know. But again, being very, very close to him, my parents sat us down, and I remember vividly myself and my brother, and they're explaining everything to us. So again, we could hug Pat and be around Pat and hold his hand, like when we were walking. There was nothing strange about it. We were never made to feel that there was something strange about an illness. Pat was Pat, and that was it, regardless of an illness. So like I said, he'd done a lot of charity work for AIDS Alliance to spread awareness and to kind of raise money for some form of help for people, because I believe there was very little back then. And he got all of us involved with that.
Brilliant. Really giving a great sense of purpose to the youngsters in Kent Tower and around outside Kent Tower, like as you say, from Skull and Chotter Lake,
mm-hmm.
the other would-be poets that wanted to join the group. And
It
must have been really exciting. And did he foster an interest in, you know, your school poetry, like the poetry that you might be learning from the textbooks or anything?
There wasn't so much of that. It was kind of, he would try and introduce us to any type of poem, not just of what he was interested in. So if we did have an interest in something in school, but there was, to be quite honest, there wasn't a lot there. But we'd always, like, he'd rent out a room, I remember, in the library in Ballymore, and RTE was there filming, and we'd be kind of sat there going through poems, trying to come up with ideas for poems, or he'd be just reciting poems, or we'd be there, and RTE be there, or they'd be with us when we're going to the horse fair sometimes. So there was always a, I remember there was always a spotlight on Pat because he was such a fantastic activist for the Rhymers Club, but also for AIDS Alliance. There was always something to do there. And I think I remember he took us all to the zoo there, and we got badges as well from the Dublin Zoo because he raised a substantial amount of money for AIDS Alliance and the Rhymers Club as well there. So we were all kind of taken out to the zoo and looked after by the actual zoo, I believe.
And where did the Rhymers Club meet? Was it in the basement of the Kent Tower?
So it was initially, if memory serves, it was initially done in his flat. I think it was the 11th floor, 13th floor of Kent Tower. I can't really remember. But it was done in there in his tiny little flat. We'd all kind of sit around on chairs or on his bed or on the bench or something. And then when it kind of expanded, when more and more of us wanted to go there, I think I said earlier that my father was kind of the head of the tenants association. So what they did is there was like the basement of each apartment block, and what they did is they done it all up, and the caretaker of the block would have his little rooms in there. And what they all did is they just got stuck in, they painted all the walls, they cleaned it all up. And as I said, we'd have our Rhymers Club down there every week, or he'd even set up Halloween parties. Oh my God, Pat loved Halloween. So we'd be going around Ballymun and you know, going to everybody, have the Halloween party, anyone in the house, and they'd be giving us out the wood. And there would always be friendly competition with every block there, trying to have the biggest bonfire there, and he'd always have to have the witch on top of it. That was it. He was amazing. As I said, there was the Rhymers Club, there was Halloween parties, Christmas parties, just in that little room. And yeah, it was great.
God bless him. He's
It's.
I just wanted to kind of mark the anniversary from 6th of June 1991.
That's insane.
I'll mention him on the program coming up now at 5:30 to 6:00, Ermin and Mika. But I'd like to maybe utilise this conversation we're having, the legacy of Pat Tierney.
Yeah, it was a legacy indeed. It was indeed.
I really appreciate you coming on and talking about
Pat.
No problem at all. It's fantastic to talk to somebody who was close to him, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's no problem.
I knew him more or less just on a nodding acquaintance, you know, being a bit shy or something, you know. I regret not, you know, maybe making myself more acquainted with him, you know.
Always
friendly, always easygoing. Saw him in town, you know, on Grafton Street reciting poetry with the cat.
Everyone knew Pat. That was the thing. Like, everywhere you go, someone would stop and talk to him.
Yeah.
It just, like, to a kid looking up at him, everyone knew Pat. And like, it's insane to me, especially, it kind of hit me this year as well, that, like, he passed on his 40th birthday, and I'm 39 this year, and I still look at him going, oh, he was such a man, and I still feel like a child compared to Pat, you know.
Absolutely.
It's insane.
Do you have a copy of the poetry book yourself?
I've got, my parents have it.
Your parents
have it somewhere in the home. Everyone has a copy of it. Yeah,
I have a lend of one from Saoirse's granddad, I think.
That's right, yeah, sir. Well, they were very close with Pat as well. So we have the Rhymers Club book, and we also have the Moon on My Back as well.
That's a real collector's item.
It is indeed, yeah, it is indeed.
Brendan, thanks so much.
Very welcome.
I might, as I say, I might try to expand the information I find or the research I do, and maybe add on a few other rhymers.
No problem.
Make a program out of it,
yeah.
You know, in dedication of Pat Tierney.
That'd be lovely. I really look forward to hearing that. That's brilliant. Yeah, no problem. That's fantastic. I look forward to it, John. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Nice talking to you, Brendan.
My pleasure.
Yeah.
God bless you. Thanks very much. Look after yourself. Bye-bye.
That was Brendan Swan speaking to me on the phone last year about Pat Tierney. Occasion was the 30th anniversary of the publication of the book Spring Song, poetry from the Kent Towers Rhymers Club in Ballymun. Brendan mentioned that there was a real lack of a material online of the work of Pat Tierney, and I did manage to find a spoken poem by a young Ballymunner by Pat Tierney, and it was called Beyond the Sally Cap. So I'll finish the programme with a beautiful poem, Beyond the Sally Cap by Pat Tierney.
Come with me, little Sheila, now. Come quickly, grab your cap. And I'll show you where the fairies are beyond the Sally Gap. Quickly now, oh quickly, come and grab my outstretched hand. And I'll lead you to a wondrous place, a lovely fairy land. Close your eyes and dream now. Let your mind be like an eye, as we walk across the landscape, where the mountains touch the sky. The sun is quickly sinking, and the dew is on the grass. Step lightly, little Sheila, we have reached the fairy pass. There before us dancing, on the secret purple shore, are 1,000 wee folk prancing, in their coats of speckled ore. An emerald cap tops every head, a smile on every face, dancing around in circles, at a happy jolly pace. Oh look, there in the centre, 'tis the queen upon her throne. She is calling little Sheila, look she calls to you alone. She rises now to meet you, and she takes you by the hand, to the merriment and dancing amidst the happy fairy band. She strikes you with her hazel wand, and changes quick your style. You've ringlets down your shoulders, fair and flowing as the foil. Your gown and fairy slippers have astonishing array of brilliant jewels and diamonds, as a burst in summer's ray. You're dancing now so lightly, in the dewy balmy air, with 1,000 fairy dancers, calling Sheila, you're so fair. The harpist plucks the harp strings, sending music up in bars, to the peaceful silent heavens, where dwells God's twinkling stars. Alas, the music's fading, and the dawn is on the wing, a hush descends the valley, when you cease to dance and sing. You seek my arms for slumber, and now peacefully enwrap, transported from the valley and the haunting Sally Gap.